morning. I'm so excited that you are joining us this morning. We have just an amazing series that we're presenting here over the next few weeks. We are starting a new series, Do You Wish for a Better Life? And I think that's a question that is on the hearts of our culture right now. Is there are so many people who are just struggling in the world today, who find it hard to find happiness, to find peace, to find joy in this life, and they're just wanting a better way of life. And I really believe that, boy, this culture is just, we're lost, we're wandering and trying different things, and a lot of times when we look for a better way of life, we're just reaching and grabbing for whatever is out there, and it's not necessarily the right thing. And sometimes what we think might help us ends up leading us down a very bad path. And so this morning, I want to share a story with you of a woman who was looking for a better way of life and the crazy way that she found it. And I want to share with you this morning the story of the woman at the well. Now, before I begin, I'm going to talk to the men for a second, because maybe you just heard that I'm going to be preaching about a woman, and maybe you're automatically tuning out, and I'm going to urge you not to do that this morning. Because here's what I know with this particular story, is that you can learn as a man, you can learn how to be a better father, a better husband, a better friend, a better Christian from this story. But more importantly, you can learn from both Jesus and from the woman at the well. Both of them will teach you. Both of them can have a radical impact on your life if you pay attention to the dialogue that is going on between Jesus and the woman. They both contribute greatly to your relationship. And so I want to begin there. And before we jump into the text, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can go ahead and open them up to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. That's where I will meet you. But I need to set a little bit of context before we jump into the story. And so we're going to find Jesus traveling to Samaria. And when he does that, it's a very radical trip for him. And here's why. The Jews and the Samaritans did not get along at all. And it stems from, most of it stems from the Babylonian exile. And so I won't get into all of that, the history of all that. But here's the thing. There are two people groups who believe in the same God, but they don't agree on what scripture is to be included, and they both have a different temple. And so for the Jews, their temple is in Jerusalem, so the Samaritans have their own temple, and this has created friction. It's created incredible friction. And so these two people groups do not get along at all. And I need you to hear that as we enter into this story, because there's great friction that exists there. And so if you would like to join me, I will be in John 4, beginning of verse 3. And we're going to read this whole story together. And as we do that, I'm going to pause in different spots, because there's a lot here, and I want you to catch all of it this morning. Beginning of verse 3, he, being Jesus, left Judea and went away again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now I'm going to pause there. So there's a number of things that are happening here. Is Jesus did not take the traditional route that a Jew would make going from the south of Israel up to the north side. Normally, a Jew would travel around Samaria. And so they would kind of make this long out-of-the-way arc traveling there. But Jesus doesn't do that. he takes the more direct route and the route that Jews would not have taken. Now, that's important because he's going out of his way, and then we find him at a well in about the sixth hour. Now, in the ancient world, that means noontime. So here's what I want you to remember. I said this a couple weeks ago. Jesus does everything with intentionality. He doesn't just happen to be there. He doesn't just decide, I'm gonna go to Samaria, a place where I'm hated because of my people group, because of my culture. He doesn't just do that. He's intentional about everything that he's doing, and we're going to find out why here in the next verse. Picking up in verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Now, I want to start with this. The dialogue that goes on between the Samaritan woman and Jesus is kind of almost a little cat and mouse game, but you're going to find that the Samaritan woman is kind of snarky. She's got some grit to her. And she is not happy that this Jew is there. And she kind of fires a shot at him. She said, "Well, how is it you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink?" In other words, you Jews think you're so holy. How can you possibly ask me, this lowly Samaritan, for a drink of water? She's being very snarky in this conversation. And we're going to find out why here. Because we see that the woman is at the well at noontime. This isn't normal. It isn't normal in that culture because it's the heat of the day. And that, in the ancient world, women would have gotten their water jugs, and as soon as the sun came up, they would have traveled to the well, and they would have gotten their water. It's usually a distance, and the picture captures that pretty well. You can see that it's a distance off to the city. We don't know how far she had to travel, but she had to travel carrying heavy water jugs. You wouldn't do that in the heat of the day. So the question is, why is she there? Why is she there at that time? Well, she's probably making the journey at that time because she's hoping to go unnoticed. She's probably an outcast in her community, and we find that out from the text in a little bit, and she doesn't want to deal with facing others. She's simply trying to come and go, to get on with her life. She's trying to carry her pain, her wounds, her sins, and her fears of her life without having to face the world around her. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like, I don't really want to talk to anybody today. I just want to get from point A to point B. Leave me alone. I want to just be by myself. I don't want to deal with you people. We all feel that at one point or another, and this is very much where we find the woman at the well, but here's the difference. She feels this every day. She's going to the well at noon because she doesn't want to be bothered. She doesn't want to see anybody. And if she goes in the heat of the day, she knows nobody will be there and she can just get on with her life. And now we see that she's face to face with the Savior of the world. But she doesn't know that yet. She doesn't know who Jesus is yet. All she knows is, now I got to deal with a Jew. It's at the well. Great. That's kind of her attitude I'm reading into the text, but that's how she feels. She doesn't know that the man that's at the well can take away all of her hurt, all of her pain, and all the shame that she carries with her. And we continue on in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob and you who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle." Again, she's being a little snarky with Jesus. She's like, "Oh, you're going to give me living water? Well, how are you going to get a drink? You didn't bring anything to draw from the well with." Of course, it's a little bit ironic because she's at the well. She obviously has a way to get water, but she's pushing back against this Jew, saying, "Well, how are you going to get water?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I'll not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You've correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." Now I need to stop and pause on this. This is a part of text that sometimes the church gets wrong and they try and manipulate it. Sometimes you'll hear people say, "See, Jesus is calling her out. He's condemning her. She doesn't have a husband. She's had five husbands, and now the one that she's living with isn't even a husband." I want you to hear this because it's important. Jesus isn't condemning the woman. He's simply stating her truth. What he has said to the woman is, "You are living with a guy that's not your husband, and you have had five husbands." He's calling out what she has done wrong. He's not condemning her. He's simply stating her truth to her. He's simply stating facts that no one else would know. He's establishing to the woman who he is. He's proving to her that at a minimum that he is a man of God. And we know that by her next response. In verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say..." Anytime somebody says "you people," you know you're on dangerous ground, right? "You people, you Jews." She still hesitant to believe at this point, and she says, "And you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem you will worship the Father. You will worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Can you imagine that moment? Can you imagine how the woman must have felt to realize this man that's before her, he's not a prophet. He's the Messiah. He is the Christ. I mean, how much of an impact, how hard must that have hit her? Because all of a sudden, she would have had this epiphany kind of moment, like, wait a second, he was telling me everything I was doing wrong, not because he was a prophet, because he's the Messiah. Now that changes everything, because now she's in a place where she can find redemption, where she can find restoration, where her life can be transformed. I love this next little passage because it points it out so well. At this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why do you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot. Isn't that funny? She came there to get water. She obviously needs water. And she leaves the water pot. Have you ever been in a situation where something happened and you were so excited, you were so overcome by joy, you're just like, and just ran away? Right? And you completely forgot why you were there in the first place. She has that moment. She gets it. I'm standing before the Messiah. And she just... she's so overcome with emotion, she leaves her water pot and she goes into the city and she says to the men, "Come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" And they went out of the city and were coming to see him. We should have a radical transformation in our lives when we encounter the Messiah. It should affect us deeply, and we hear it in her response. The woman who comes to the well in the heat of the day to avoid everybody now leaves behind her water pot and runs in the city to tell the men that she has seen the Messiah. Do you see the transformation in her? Just with an encounter with Christ, her life is radically changed. The woman came to the well to receive water, the very thing that sustains human life. Instead, she finds the life-giving water of Jesus Christ, the water that washes away sin, that restores the soul and sustains a Christian for all eternity. The woman who was once afraid, who got water in the heat of the day to avoid people, is now telling her community of the Messiah. It is a powerful story of love, of grace, of mercy, of restoration. There's some things, there's some takeaways here that I want you to hear about Jesus in this story. Jesus doesn't care about culture or social norms. He understands that people are more than the sum of their political, racial, cultural, and economic boundaries. Did you hear that? In a world that's becoming more and more divided, in a world that is becoming polarized, Jesus doesn't care about all that. He doesn't care about who you vote for. He doesn't care about the culture that you came from. He doesn't care how much money you have in your bank account. He doesn't care about all that stuff that we love to divide people by. Another very important thing, great lesson for the church, Jesus doesn't shame the woman. He doesn't shame her in her sin. All he does is tell her her truth. He doesn't condemn her. He doesn't spend hours. He doesn't chastise her. He just says, "Hey, this is the facts, right? This is not your husband. You've had five others." He just proves who he is to the woman so she will believe in him. The other thing that we could miss if we're not paying attention, Jesus has incredible compassion for the woman. He is sensitive to who she is. I want you to hear this. Jesus was willing to break age-old traditions to reach one woman. Do you hear that? He was willing to break traditions for one woman. He walked straight into a community where Jews are despised, and he sits in the heat of the day to get water from her. That is incredible compassion. He could have just went into a town and preached like he does in other places in the gospel, and maybe she'll show up, maybe she'll be here for this sermon, who knows? But he doesn't do that. Instead, he says, I'm gonna go over there. And they hate me over there. They hate me. I'm going to walk right into the heart of it. I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to sweat. I'm going to get hot, and I'm going to wait patiently for this one woman because she's worth it. That is the love and compassion of Jesus Christ. It is the compassion and love that transforms our lives. It transforms us from the people we once were to the people that Jesus is calling us to be. It should have a radical impact upon us. This morning, you're going to hear a special. Heather is going to sing for us. It's a song called Woman at the Well. It's a modern-day take on this story, and I want you to hear the intro before she begins singing. It's by an artist whose name is Olivia Lane. By her own admission, she says that she was an atheist and is now a Christian. She felt that there was a better way to live life. She was hungry, she was thirsty, to find those answers. And she searched, and eventually she found Jesus Christ. But in that searching, there was some pain, there were some difficult moments, and she struggled. This song is her modern day testimony.
I heard a story from the Bible when I was just a little girl about a broken-hearted woman who met the Savior of the world. It was just another story, one that the preacher man would read. But as I'm sitting here at home, drinking red wine all alone, I think that woman might be me. 'Cause tonight I feel just like the woman at the well, wondering how someone could love me when I can't love myself. But you want me as I am, and that sounds crazy. I guess maybe that's why grace is so amazing. Staring at that empty bottle, I swear I caught a glimpse of him. He met me right there at the bottom and turned that wine to living water and taught me how to love again. 'Cause tonight I feel just like the woman at the well. Wondering how someone could love me when I can't love myself. But you want me as I am, and that sounds crazy. I guess maybe that's why grace is so amazing. It's no longer just a story when I read it, 'cause I've seen it for myself and I believe it. 'Cause tonight I feel just like the woman at the well. Wondering how someone could love me when I can't love myself. But you want me as I am, and that sounds crazy. I guess maybe that's why grace is so amazing. Just like the story from the Bible I heard when I was just a girl. I was a broken-hearted woman who met the Savior of the world.
I think that is a story that so many of us can relate to, that we wander through this life looking for a better way to live. Sometimes we are consumed by past pains, by trauma, by the hurt that life throws at us. Sometimes we self-medicate. We take pills, we take drugs. Maybe, like in the song, we pour ourselves a bottle of red wine just to numb the pain of this life. But the problem with all of those is it'll never take the pain away. Sure, it may subside temporarily, only to wake up the next day and find the pain and the trauma still there. I'm not a smart man, but here's what I know. Jesus Christ is the only one who can heal your wounds. He's the only one that can take that pain away and throw it away. He's the only one that you can come to broken, full of sin and shame. And he won't condemn you. Let's wrap his arms around you, forgive you if you ask for forgiveness, and lead you into a better way of life. For some of you, that time is now. For some of you, Jesus has been waiting at your well. You know what I mean? That in life, you've had these weird different encounters with something that just feels like, I need to know Jesus. I need to do something differently. But you didn't know what that was, maybe. But you were searching. Now is the time. In a second, the worship team is going to sing a song appropriately entitled, "O Come to the Altar." So this morning, if you're carrying around sin and shame and you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, we want you to come forward. We want you to come forward to these altars, kneel at these altars, and simply ask him for forgiveness. This is a place that you won't be judged. In fact, Mandy, this past week, in a video that we put out there, one of her statements of her testimony by her own admission, is this is the most non-judgmental church she's ever been a part of. because we want to love you like Jesus loves you. And he's going to forgive you. So you need to come forward and ask for that forgiveness. Let Jesus restore your soul. May you be transformed from it. And may you find a joy that's so abundant that you're like the woman at the well and it has a radical impact upon you. But I want to speak to another group. Maybe there are Christians here who strayed away from Jesus Christ. You haven't been living the life that you've been called to. You haven't been living the life that you've been taught to live. And you're struggling. Maybe you've backslid in that process. You can fix that right now. You have a Savior who wants to spend an eternity with you, who just wants to love you, who wants to lead you into a better way of life this side of eternity. All you have to do is come forward, kneel at the altar and ask for forgiveness. I want you to remember that Jesus sees all of you. He doesn't just see your sins. Sometimes we think that, like, that's all Jesus is going to see when I come to the altar. No, rather, he sees all of you. He sees your past, he sees your present, and he sees your future. A future that can be radically altered when you walk with him. It is a future that is filled with hope, love, peace, joy, and grace. And I want you to remember this. Jesus Christ is not shocked by your sin. Don't think, well, I have done too much. I cannot be forgiven for what I've done. You forget who the Savior of the world is. He died on a cross. He died an unimaginable death, knowing exactly what your sin was. And he said, that price is worth it. My death is worth you coming to the altar. So as the worship team sings this morning, oh, come to the altar. If you feel that still small voice speaking to you, if you feel that gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit, if you just feel like, I need to fix this, I need to find a better way of life, then you come forward and you ask for forgiveness this morning. If you were at the altar, just stay there. It's okay. I'm going to continue talking. We can't quite leave this passage. You can, for those of you back there, you can have a seat. We can't quite leave this passage. We're not done with the woman at the well. We have to look at one more aspect. Picking up on verse 39. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all the things I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 more days. Many more believed because of his word, and they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. After the 2 days, Jesus went forth from there into Galilee. You need to hear the powerful testimony of the woman. She says, he told me of all the things I did. In other words, he knew me and he still loved me. He knew me and he forgave me. He knew me. And now my life is forever transformed. And so I'm going to go and tell people. And she goes in the city, and the outcast of a woman tells the men, and the men believe her story. They believe her testimony. So much so that the people who despise the Jews are now asking Jesus, a Jew, can you stay with us? Don't leave us. Don't depart from us because we need you. Be present with us. I want to tell you what the woman at the well teaches us this morning. We should live our lives out of the overflow of love that Jesus Christ has shown to us. We should run with wild abandonment, leaving behind our water buckets to those around us. Tell them what Jesus has done for us. If your life is not radically transformed by your salvation, you don't recognize what Jesus Christ has done for you. Let me say that again. If your life is not radically, forever transformed by your salvation, by the gift of your salvation, then you don't understand the love of Jesus Christ. The woman at the well did. She interacted with the Messiah, and her life was forever changed by that interaction. Church, do you feel the same way today? Do you interact with the Messiah each and every day, or do we simply have faith in the unknown? Do I just pray, well, there's something up there? See, that's really interpersonal, isn't it? It's not very personal if we think, oh, well, I pray every day to a God or to God. Church, I pray every day. I have a conversation with the Savior of the world. Do you interact with Jesus Christ? But furthermore, do we interact with those around us in our community, in our society, that need to have a relationship with the Messiah? Do you do that? Do you interact with them, the least of us? Because Jesus Christ went out of his way to save a woman by society standards that didn't deserve to be saved. He interacted with her. Are you going to do that? I have a question for you. Where in life might God be calling you to break a rule? Jesus broke a rule. He broke standards. He broke boundaries to embrace a stranger. Make no mistake about it. He didn't care about Jewish law. He didn't care about cultural burdens, boundaries. He went right through them to get to the heart of a woman. Are you willing to do the same? You should. Ask yourself this, how many boundaries did Jesus Christ have to break to rescue me? Oh. Jesus had to go some pretty dark places to save me, your pastor. And he went right through them to transform the heart of an arrogant, prideful man into somebody that loves people. Southlake, go and be like your Savior. Love God, love people, and be like the woman at the well. Go and share your testimony with those that need to hear it. If you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you simply rise and hold out your hands like this? Southlake, this morning you got to hear a beautiful story that was recorded in history and passed down to us of the grace, love, and mercy of our Savior Jesus Christ, who will stop at nothing to reach the lost. May your heart be forever radically transformed, and may you share the love that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hug somebody, Tell them you love them, and we will see you next week. God bless you all.